So you know that we are moving through the book of Ephesians. For those of you who have been with us for a while, we're just marching right through verse by verse. And we're just trying to get a sense of what the Lord is trying to teach His church through His Word. And so we're always excited to see what He has to say, because we know that we are hearing from the Lord every time we open His Word. So I want to just say that, just for the children, did you know that the Bible was written for you? The Bible was written for you. God, He spoke to human beings. He spoke to people, about 40 men, over the course of about 1,500 years, spoke to them in different ways. And He basically said this: I want you to write My words down so that I can give it to My people. I want you to do it through books and letters and songs. And I have a message to give. That's what God said to His people. I want them to hear something. So let's just say, for an example, that you were to go away to summer camp or to stay with your grandparents or something like that. And while you're away, say you're gone for a month. The whole time you're gone, your mom and your dad send you letters and they say, okay, I want you to behave, I want you to listen, but I want you to do this and know that I love you and I miss you and I can't wait to see you again. That's what God basically did. He sent us all these letters and songs and books to give us a message and to send us a message. So the question is this: what does God want with your family? Because that's a Harvest Bible. That's what we're all about. We have tons of families. Everybody has a million kids, and we're all here to do this together and have fun and give glory to God. So what does God want for your family? And so this morning we're looking at the godly family. We went through and we talked about godly wives and godly husbands and the godly marriage, and now we're going to see the family. So look at Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read the first four verses. The Bible says this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So this morning we're going to look at three different points. I'll make them very simple. There's two for the children and one for the parents. So the first one is this, and this is right from the Bible. Children, obey your parents. Did you know that the first church, way back when, all the kids stayed in the service with the parents? Did you know that? They didn't have any place else to go. They all stayed together. How do you know that? Well, we know that because when the Apostle Paul was writing this letter, he was talking to all these different kinds of people, okay, husbands and wives and, okay, slaves and masters and, okay, Gentiles and Jews. And then he stops and he says, now, children. So he stops and he looks and he says, okay, children, I have something for you now too. That's you guys. Now he's talking about submission, and he's talking about submission to authority. And we've seen this. If you've been upstairs, you've seen this. Everybody always has somebody above them. Everybody. There's always a greater authority in our lives. Everybody. And children, your parents are over you. They're in authority over you. And the Bible says that children are to obey their parents. What does obey mean? To obey means to follow. Another phrase is to be subject to, but it basically means to do what you're told, right? To do what you're told. So for example, and this happens all the time, tell me if this sounds familiar. Mom and dad say, okay, go clean your room. And you say, why? And they say, well, because I said so. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Happened to me when I was a kid, right? What mom and dad are really saying is that you are the child and I'm in the authority over you. I'm the boss. That's what they're saying. I am the boss. God wants you to obey. And so when parents tell you to do something or not to do something, you are to obey and do what you're told. Why? And you might say, well, but that's not fair. I didn't choose my mom and my dad. They just sort of like showed up on my doorstep one day. I got born, and next thing I know, I'm in this family. I didn't choose them. That's not the mom and dad I want, right? God gave you to your parents as gifts. God gave you as gifts to your parents. And He placed them in charge of you for Him. For Him. You are all for Him. and God placed her parents in charge. Let me give you an example, okay? Let me just tell you a quick story to help you understand. Let's just say I bring a puppy to your house, okay? And I say, all right, I want you to take care of my puppy. I want you to feed it and take care of it and walk it and make sure you play with him. And don't do anything that I wouldn't do. Now, if I come back to your house and the dog hasn't been fed and you can see his ribs and he's whimpering and he's sad, I'm going to say, what did you do to my dog? You didn't take care of my dog. Now, you're not puppies. No children in this place are puppies. You're children who are very precious to God. And God has told your parents to do the same thing, to teach you, to care for you, to love you, to help you, to grow you, to discipline you, so that someday you will know God, you'll love God, and you'll obey God. That's the whole idea. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. What does "in the Lord" mean? I think it has two meanings. I think it means two things, okay? As to the Lord, and I think it also means in the things of the Lord. Let me explain that. The first one is obey in the Lord. I think it means this. You should listen and obey your parents the same way that you would listen and obey God. So you treat your parents in your obedience, in your listening, the way that you would listen to God. It's the same thing. So the way you obey mom and dad is the way you should obey God, and back and forth. That's the first thing I think it means. So when they say, don't touch that or don't do that, and you say, why? And they say, well, because I said so. What they're really saying is because God says so. Because God says so. Children, if you never learn how to obey your parents, you'll never know how to obey God. And ask any one of the adults in here or anywhere else how important it is to learn how to obey God. And sometimes how hard it is to obey God. We have to go through the same thing you do when we talk about obeying the Lord. And sometimes we get spanked, just like some of you might. Sometimes, as adults, we get spankings from the Lord. Parents, I'm teaching you a lesson too, that your authority over your children is God's authority. This is an issue of authority. You have this authority that's a connection. They're going to understand God's authority through understanding your authority as well. The second meaning to obey the Lord, or to obey in the Lord, is that, children, you are to do everything in obedience to your parents, everything except sin. Except sin. God doesn't want you to sin. He doesn't want you to do the wrong thing. He wants you to do what's right. And according to the Bible, you are not to obey your parents if they ask you to sin. And that's tricky, very tricky. But let me give you an example. Let's just say that you're at school or you're on the playground and there's a bully picking on you. And he's pushing you around. Maybe he hits you or spits on you. And you go home and your dad says, well, next time you see that bully, you punch him in the face. Now, your dad just gave you an order. He said, go punch the bully in the face. But you can say, but dad, is that okay with God if I do that? God says to love your enemies. God says to turn the other cheek. I'm not talking about self-defense. I'm talking about going and trying to be mean. And I think you can ask that respectfully. Because ultimately, we want moms and dads and the kids all to be obeying God. When you obey your parents in the Lord, it is right. It's the right thing. What does that mean? Well, it means that disobeying your parents is the wrong thing, according to God. Children, God has given parents to you. Understand that. He's given you a gift, kids. He's given parents to you because he wants them to care for you and take care of you, and he wants you to obey. There's a relationship. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. You want to make God happy? Obey your parents. That's the first thing. The second thing we're going to see this morning is, children, you are to honor your parents. Honor your parents. Look at verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. What does honor mean? To honor means to value or to respect. It means to think of someone as though they're worth a lot. It means you think of somebody as being valuable. Okay? The most valuable thing that you own, you think it's worth a lot. That's the way you're supposed to act in your heart toward other people, toward your parents. This is one of the Ten Commandments. It's actually the fifth commandment. Now, when the Apostle Paul writes, this is the first with a promise, I don't think he means numerically this is the first, because we see the second commandment has a promise attached to it. But I think that for children, this is the first, as it's the most important. It's the foremost command to honor your father and your mother. Now, honoring your father and your mother, that includes obeying them. That's one way that you honor them, is by listening and obeying. But honoring your parents, it means more than that. It means that you love them and you respect them. It has to do with the attitude of your heart attitude. So let me give you an example, okay? I'm going to go back to the cleaning your room one. Kids, go clean your room. And you say, fine. And you go and you start cleaning your room, but the whole time you're going, I hate this room. Stupid room. I don't like cleaning my room. I can't believe they want me to clean my room. And you have a really bad attitude about it. Now you're obeying, right? You're doing what you're told, but your attitude is not very good. And sometimes adults, all people, we do that. God will say, do this. And we go, oh, I guess so. Fine. I don't know why I have to do this, God. Here we go again, listening to God. Our attitude's terrible. God doesn't want that. God wants us to honor him, give him love and respect and obedience. How many of you in this room, in a show of hands, how many of you think that you need to honor your parents? Show of hands. I like that all the hands went up. That's good. That's good. That's right. Adults, too, need to love and respect their parents. They need to honor their parents. And if you go back into the Old Testament law, and even bringing into the New Testament in Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13, you could look this up at home, but Jesus talks about this with the Pharisees, because what they were doing is they were trying to be religious and trying to keep laws, but they weren't taking care of their elderly parents. And they were taking the money that was supposed to go to their parents, and they're saying, oh, it's Corban, it's given to God. And Jesus says, shame on you, shame on you. Because you're saying you're giving it to God, but your parents are starving? That's not honorable. You're disobeying my commandments. So Jesus says that we are to honor, respect, and love our parents. When you're young, if you learn how to honor and obey your parents, it'll be easier when you get older to honor and obey God. In the Old Testament, honoring your parents was very serious. This is a big deal in the Old Testament. It still is to God in his heart, but we see it in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, if you dishonored your parents, you were punished severely, heavily. And let me tell you this, if you hit your parents or even cursed at them, swore at them, you were put to death. They took your life. They killed you. That's scary. But God takes this very seriously. This is a big deal to God. But then in verse 3, he gives a promise. He says, if you do this, it will go well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, he's not guaranteeing that if you honor and obey your parents, you'll live for a long, long time, because a lot of times in this world, kids who obey their parents, bad things happen to them. But what he's saying is that children, if you obey your parents, you will tend to live longer because you'll be in less danger. You'll get into less trouble. You'll get into less harm. You'll have better safety. You'll be protected. You'll make wise decisions. Let me give you another example of this in the ways we obey our parents. Let's just say that one of your parents says, okay, don't go in your dad's office because he might mess something up. It's important you listen there, because the next time it's going to be, don't touch the stove or you'll get burned. And the next time it's going to be, don't go in the street because you might get killed. And so we have to learn to obey even in really small things. This is for the adults too. We have to learn how to obey God in small things. In everything but especially in small things. So, children, we are to obey, to do what you're told, and you're told to honor your parents, to love them and respect them. So, parents, what are your responsibilities? Number three, nurture your children. Let's look at verse 4. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Do you guys see a different word there? Oh, wait, fathers. Fathers. You mean to tell me that it's not just mom's job to raise the kids and teach them Bible and work on character training? The Greek word is pateres. It means fathers. It can sometimes be a designation for mom and dad, but in this context, it's fathers. Fathers. It says, do not provoke. It means to anger, to exasperate, to irritate your children. If the father is the head of the home, the leader, according to the Bible, according to Ephesians chapter 5, if the father is the head, then all education, all training, and all discipline is his responsibility to be over that. Now, sometimes fathers have a tendency, when they're trying to command respect or teach discipline, to come down pretty hard on their kids. I don't think it's always intentional. And sometimes you make a mistake, and when you do, ask for forgiveness. Ask your children's forgiveness. But Paul is talking about when dads are continuously trying to crush their kids with a heavy hand, when they sit on them real hard. And Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. It's discouraging. How do you provoke them to anger? How do you discourage them? There's a couple ways. Number one, overprotection. Overprotection. Number two is favoritism. When you start treating your kids separate from each other and lifting one up and putting one down, favoritism. Another one is discouragement. Constantly throwing cold water onto them. Number four is not allowing them to grow up in the way that they are growing up. Not allowing them to be unique. To grow into the child that they are. The Bible says, I think it's in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go and he won't depart from it. Every kid's unique. It's a matter of pigeonholing your children. Well, you're going to be this when you grow up. It's hard because we want so much for our children. Another way to provoke them to anger is to neglect them or to have bitter words with them. Remember, parents, God has entrusted you with a sacred command to care for your children. And he's instructed them to obey, to submit to you. So what will you do with that sacred charge? The Bible says here, bring them up, ektrepho in the Greek. It means to nourish. It actually means to bring from a baby into maturity, into adulthood. Literally, you're to grow up your kids. Grow them up, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I'll go with these two words here. Paideia is the first word and nouthesia is the other word. The first word means this. It means instruction, discipline. It also can mean education and training. But the idea is this. This is the systematic training and correction of your children. This is feeding their understanding. This is their Bible knowledge. This is their understanding of theology, of who God is, of the gospel. What is the gospel? What does that mean? Of sin, that I'm a sinner against God and I need to deal with that somehow. So this is feeding their understanding. The second one is nouthesia. It's to bring, literally the word means to bring to mind. It's the admonition, the counsel, the correction. This is their right attitude and right training. This is shepherding their heart. So their understanding and their heart. This is very important to God. So fathers, you are to oversee and implement with your wives this training experience that will nourish their minds and understanding and will shape their heart and affections. Now, that sounds like a lot. That's a lot of work, especially when we have 800,000 kids at Harvest Bible Church, right? It's a lot of work. A lot of hearts A lot of minds. It sounds like a lot. Are we really to do this, every single child? It sounds all-consuming. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This was the same prescription that God was giving to Israel to teach and train their children. This passage that I'm going to read to you is it's what was called in the Old Testament culture, the Israelite culture, this was called the Shema. And every single person knew this by heart. And they learned it when they were little, tiny, before they could even barely speak. That was the first thing they learned, was this series of verses. They knew this like we know the Pledge of Allegiance. Almost anybody could say that, right? It's only 26 words. It's the first thing we learn when we're in school. This was the first thing that they learned. Starting in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This is to become a godly obsession in our families. There's really four things we can learn from this passage. We're to teach our children to know God. We're to teach them to love God, to obey God, and then to follow our example as we do those things as well. Everything we do as parents is to point our children back to the Lord. Ted Tripp, in his fantastic book called Shepherding a Child's Heart, he writes this: "Let me overview a biblical vision for the parenting task. The parenting task is multifaceted. It involves being a kind of authority, shepherding your children to understand themselves in God's world, and keeping the gospel in clear view so that your children can internalize the good news and someday live in mutuality with you as people under God." We're growing up the church continuously. Another book that I think is wonderful about this, it's called What the Bible Says About Parenting by John MacArthur. He talks about the mechanics of this. He says, "Your top priority as a parent, then, is to be an evangelist in your home. You need to teach your children the law of God, teach them the gospel of divine grace, show them their need for a Savior, and then point them to Jesus Christ as the only one who can save them. If they grow up without a keen awareness of their need for salvation, you as a parent will have failed in your primary task as a spiritual leader. Note this, however: regeneration, being born again, regeneration is not something you can do for them. Parents who force or coerce or manipulate their kids may pressure them into a false profession, but genuine faith is something only divine grace can prompt. The new birth is a work of the Holy Spirit. God works sovereignly in your children's hearts to draw them to himself. Their salvation is a matter that must be ultimately settled between them and God." Then he writes this: "As believing parents, you are the first and most important preachers God has given them. They will observe your lives up close to see whether you seriously believe what you're teaching them." This is why I believe it's important for us as a church, when we go to baptize, that we help our children understand and believe the gospel first, that their faith is their own. This is really important for us. A lot of times people come to the church in this culture and they say, "What do you have for my children?" When planting this church, that was a lot of the questions I got. Because you guys know they've been with us for a while, we didn't start off in this building. We had not this building. Well, according to Ephesians 4:12 and Ephesians 6:4, the job of the church is not to train your children. That's your job as parents. The best thing the church can do for your children is to equip you as parents to minister to their hearts. It's the best thing we can do for you. Deuteronomy 6 says that spiritual training is done in the house. Does that mean the church doesn't care? No. As well as equipping the saints. We're trying to equip the children as well and give them some basic Bible knowledge. But the truth of the Word of God and a relationship with Jesus Christ is fostered in the home, not inside the walls of a church building. Now, parents, hear me correctly. The most important ministry that we can do as the church is inside our homes with our families. That's the most important thing we can do. And everything that the church exists to do is to try to shepherd and foster that. That's why we're committed to family discipleship. That's why we're committed to giving you resources and doing everything we can to understand God's Word. To the parents of grown children, I know you might feel a little bit left out this morning, but your ministry is just as important. According to Titus chapter 2, your ministry is to help, to train, and support the parents, the mothers and the fathers, who are raising up the younger ones. There needs to be a generational discipleship that takes place. We're going to talk about this. God willing, if he directs me a different way, we're going to go through the book of Titus after this, which talks about the hands and the feet of the church, which is where we're at. And so we're going to go through Titus chapter 2. We're going to talk about discipleship. We're going to talk about what a man and a woman are supposed to do. We're going to talk about older men and older women and younger women and younger men. I will not distinguish an age. We're just going to talk about them, okay? But we're going to cover this, what it means for the church to come together and to disciple one another and to help each other to grow in the faith. We have to do this as a church together. Every single person has to get involved in this somehow. This connects everything we've learned in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to see it connect in Ephesians chapter 6. When our children see husbands sacrificing for their wives, they will understand Christ sacrificing for his church. When our children see wives submitting and honoring their husbands, they'll understand how to honor Christ. If our children see a father who loves, they'll understand a father who loves. If our children see parents on their knees and praying before the Father every day, they're going to do the same. They're going to pray to the Father every day just like us. If our children see mom and dad faithfully learning their Bibles, guess what? They're going to say, Mom, I want a Bible. Dad, can you show me how to read the Bible? If our children see mom and dad talking often about the Lord and rejoicing in the love of Jesus Christ, our children will want to love him too. Our children will want a relationship with Christ because of us. Because of us. There is no ministry more important to the church than to the ministry of the family. Children, I know we're at the end of this, and I thank you guys for hanging in there. You guys are so important to us. You're precious to us. You're valuable to us because you're doing this with us. God has placed us in your lives to help you to know who he is and to love him. And God is also teaching us how to be Christians too by the way we love and teach you. It's challenging on both sides, but you guys are important to us. We cherish you very much. You need to know that because there's going to come a point when you get older and you're going to be able to choose. I'm 18, I'm 20. I could leave or I could stay. Or if I do go away, I want to find a home, a family that's like the church I came from. We don't want you to leave the fellowship of the Lord. We want you to stay close to God in your hearts. We want you to love him for the rest of your life. And so we're committed to doing everything we can to see that you love Jesus with all your heart. And we're not going to always get it right. We're going to make mistakes. But this is very important to us. And we're happy that we have so many of you in our number. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of children. Last count, I think, Lord, we have 20-plus children in such a small number, Lord. And Father, that's a blessing to us, Lord. But it's also a charge. Father, we need your help. We're a young church. Many of us are young parents. We've never done this before. And Lord, our children are so important to us, and we ask you, Father, to help us to understand your word clearly. Ephesians 6, Colossians 3, Deuteronomy 6, Lord, Proverbs 22, all these passages and verses that help us to do this right, help us to understand this, Lord. And I pray for our children, Lord, all of them, that they would grow to love you, to worship you, to serve you, to have a relationship with you, and to someday do what we're doing. Lord, I pray that the next pastor of this fellowship comes right from right here, Lord, that you put someone else in this place. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Help us to live this out better and better every week. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys did awesome. Thank you for listening. Very good.